God is a spirit, and the Bible said they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, in that he is the spirit of truth, and in that he is a spirit. Paul said, I would that you were spiritual, or that ye should pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation. That is to say, if God is a spirit, then for you to be eternal, then you're going to have to be a spirit. The Bible said the first man Adam was made a living soul. And of course, you being born of the first man Adam, you are a living soul. And the Bible said in Adam all die because Adam sinned. But the Bible said Jesus Christ, the second man Adam, was made a quickening spirit. And he was the beginning of the creation of God. And ye that are born of spirit, you are spirit. You must be born of the quickening spirit. And then when you're born of the spirit, you're no longer a living soul. You are a quickening spirit. And I tell you again, a living soul can die, but a quickening spirit can never die. When you become a quickening spirit, you have passed from the realm of death and you've moved into the realm of life. You've moved from the status of a living soul to a quickening spirit. And the Bible said, I make my angels spirits, and in heaven where the angels are, all are spirits and like unto the angels. So when we're born again, we move into the spirit. We move into heaven in our inner man, as David said here, you're standing in heaven, you're dwelling in heaven, ye are they that dwell in heaven, and you move into heaven and you're no longer a living soul. You are a quickening spirit, and you are equal to the angels, the Bible tells us, and you cannot die. You pass from death unto life. And I say again, dying means that your soul can never go into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is called the second death, or it's really the only death, in that when the spirit departs from the body, it is sleep. Let me say this just before I read here. Death cannot take you. You know, I had death to come after me the other night. It comes after me. Every once in a while, it comes after me. And it came after me the other night. And I was standing in this room, I like over here, and I decided I'd explore this room over here. So I explored this room over here, and I thought, well, just a little bit leery in this room over here that I explored. Then I thought, well, there's another room over here, and something said, well, don't explore that room because that you'll be afraid. I thought, well, I know there's something leery about that room, but I grabbed the door handle of the, I said, I'm not afraid of that. So I went into that room, and I explored that room, and when I got in that room, it was the room of death. And I saw all around me, like the whole room was, you know, fixed like a coffin, a casket. And the beds were so beautiful over here, you know, silky and satin-like. And they were just beautiful, but it was the bed of death. I went over and felt of it and put my hands on it, you know, and I thought, nah, I don't think so. And I turned and went back out. So it's like one time I remember Betty and I, we was over another state somewhere. And I'd gotten two rooms there because I was wanting to seek the Lord, and I let Betty have the other room, and the children, they had the other room. And while I was in this room, Satan attacked me, and death came again. And I looked, and in a vision I saw, and here they come in pushing the coffin in. And they pushed the coffin in, two men did, and they opened up the coffin. And they told me I was to get in there, you know. And I thought, I got up, and I walked over to the coffin, and I put my foot in. And I thought, no. I ain't going to do that. And I took my foot back out, you know, and let them roll the coffin on out. But he comes after me every once in a while, and he'll come after you too. But you don't have to go with him. You don't have to go with him. You know, the men of old, when they finished their ministry or finished their course in life, what they did, they just laid down, yielded up the spirit. They called in the family and the children and blessed them and told them. I said, we're fixing to, you know, cross the river and... Then when they got through, they yielded up the spirit, and they went on. You know, like Jesus said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay my life down. This commandment I have of my Father, I can lay it down and I can take it up. And the Bible said, as he is, so are we in him. No man taketh our life. We lay it down for him. We become a living sacrifice for him, and we have the power to lay it down, and we have the power to take it up, and we will lay it down, and we will take it up, just like he laid his down, and he went back, and he took it up. So then your inner man, I want to say this to you, your inner man, therefore, is the one that's in power. Your inner man, therefore, has become eternal, and your inner man can never die. So your inner man has power over your outer man as to the body. And your inner man can do with the body whatever he desires to do with it. All he has to do is believe. And Jesus said to say anything and believe it, it would happen. To ask anything in my name, and I'll give it to you. So he said, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, for greater is he that is within you, that is in your spirit, even Christ, than he that is in the world, which means Satan or Lucifer, that is the god of this world. So then your inner man is the only source of life. If the inner man leaves your body, it's nothing but a shell. It's like taking off a garment that must be processed and put through the cleaners. And then you go back and pick it up again after it's run through the washing of the waters of regeneration. But see, there's nothing to the body. We place all the emphasis on the body, and we place the greater emphasis on the things of less value because of our ignorance of spiritual things and the lack of our understanding. But the body is really nothing. It will continue to change. Your body will continue to change from birth. Your body is dying. When you come into this world, and Adam, all die as to the body. And when you come into this world, you're born into this world for one thing, and that is to die. And day after day, you will change. Every living one of you will change, from the little girl and the little boy right on. You'll continue to change every day in your features, and you'll continue to change in your composure as to whatever you are, and you'll die, and they'll put you in a hole, and they'll throw the dirt in your face. And so then, your outer man is nothing. He hath no power to live. He hath no power to do anything. And the reason that you pimper and pamper with your face and your body and your clothes and money and buy things and all these kind of things is because Lucifer is interwoven with your outer man and within your flesh. The Bible said there is no good thing. For the will is present, but how to perform that which is good, Paul said, I find not. And I find that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And he said, the good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, I find that I am entangled in that, and that I do. So I see another law in my members, that is in your outer man, in your body, warring against the law of my mind, which means against the mind of Christ that is on the inside of your inner man. And it brings me into captivity to this law, which is in my members. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So this body is all my problem. This is what causes my problem. Satan that savors the things that be of the flesh, that dwells in the body, is always bringing my inner man into captivity to the extent that my inner man cannot administer the things that God has given to it through the outer man. So he said, there's a wall of partition. There's a middle wall of partition. He said, there is a veil that must be rent. And this veil, as to the body, I've explained to you that this knowledge, this death, this carnality, to be carnally minded is death, this worldly mind of lust and love and desire of the things of the world got into the body through the weakness of Eve and then on into Adam, and it's been handed down to every person, and in Adam all die. So then who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I remind you again, the Bible said that which the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, of the flesh being weak as to perform it, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh at Calvary. And he done away with the law, he done away with the flesh, he done away with the world. To them that can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that was you dying at Calvary. And to you that can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is Christ that's living today and not you. Paul said, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God who gave himself for me. And that's why the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. These things that we're making mention of is to be able to differentiate between the twins. The twins as to your inner man and your outer man. And one of them is of the devil and the other one is of God. And so then, knowing that your inner man cannot die and that your outer man only goes to sleep when the inner man slips the garment off, you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says concerning this, he said, we desire to be clothed upon with our house from heaven. Not that we desire to be unclothed, that is, that our spirit should lay down our body, but rather clothed upon with our house from heaven. Having borne the image of the earthly, as to say Adam, then he said, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly, that is to say, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. For if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, which of course is the body of the Lord Jesus. And that's why the Bible said, put ye on the Lord Jesus, the body of the Lord Jesus. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That is to say, for your body, your way of life. And abstain from fleshly lust and fleshly desire that warreth against your inner man as to the soul. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you come into the supper as to the wedding supper of the Lord, without this wedding garment, you'll be bound hand and feet, and you'll be cast into the outer darkness. And that's why a lot of people are in this darkness. Even as I preach here, minds are wondering. They don't have their mind on what I'm saying. And the reason for that is they are in darkness. See, that's darkness. Intellectual thinking is darkness. And they've not cast down imagination in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And their minds wander from people. They talk to people and their minds wander to and fro here and there. That made a woman kind of sad when I said that, because she suddenly realized that that's the condition she's in. And of course, as long as you're in that kind of condition, you're abiding in death. You still haven't come into the light, nor have you come into God, nor do you have eternal life in the event that death should come for you. You'll have no power to resist it, because the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the things that move you and thrill you about the human flesh and the human body and the human things of life. See, you have that mind, so you don't have that God in you to resist death. But I'm saying this to you that are born again, you that have God, you that really are born of God as to the inner man, you cannot die. There's no need if you're worrying about dying. It is utterly impossible for you to die. You'll never die. You pass from death into life, and there's no possibility of you dying. Death is when your spirit or inner man is put into the lake of fire. It's referred to as the second death. I tell you again, as the second death, the lake of fire, which means your spirit is separated from God's spirit and it goes into the lake of fire, and that is death. You can never die because your spirit is interwoven with the spirit of Christ. You keep yourself and the evil one, Satan, the spirit of Satan, Lucifer, the fallen angel, toucheth you not, never. At any time, you are without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And when God comes after the church, that's what you'll be. See, but if your spirit is not interwoven with Christ's spirit as to the new birth, then you don't have the nature of Christ and you have not the spirit of Christ. And the Bible said, if you have not his spirit, you're none of his. No matter how much you believe, you're still none of his. So then, born to the Spirit, it means that you will act like Christ because of that nature and that Spirit on the inside. The child is known by his doing. If you do not act like Christ, then that means you do not have the nature nor the Spirit. You will love the things of the world, and the Bible said if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father isn't there. If the concern of the world is in you, the concern of the Father isn't there. If the desire of the world and the flesh is in you, then Satan, the God of this world, save us the things that be of the flesh. God's spirit and life isn't there. And you can believe all you want to, but you'll go to hell. When you breathe your last breath, the angels, the evil angels of Lucifer, will come and take your spirit, your angel, your inner man, into the dark, deep abyss. And as it was with Lazarus, he died. They buried his body. The angels, the good angels of God, came and took his spirit into paradise. But the Bible said the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. And when the rich man looked across the great gulf, desiring that which was heavenly, Abraham said, remember, son, in your lifetime you had the good things. He went after the world. And Lazarus, likewise, the bad. But he said, now Lazarus is comforted, and thou art tormented. And he says, besides that, they that are here can never come down there. There's no way. Nor they that are down there can never come up here. See, the loss is eternal. And I explained it. I'm not going to try to explain it tonight, but I explained it this morning as to the bloodline and how that you can cross over it. Now, I said all that to say this before I read my scripture. See, you can never die. It's over for you. You pass from death unto life. When you become born again, that's it for you. You are then eternal. No matter how much problem you have, no matter what happens, you are then eternal. How do you understand what I'm saying? So you don't have to worry about death ever taking you. Death cannot take you. When death comes, all you'll do is go to sleep. See, because when you go to sleep and you finish your course and you yield up the spirit, then death hurriedly comes over to take that spirit into captivity. See, but it cannot take that spirit into captivity. There's no way. You remember when I had the vision and death came after me and it was standing at the door and had me hemmed in this little room. And of course, death has come after me many, many times. But when he came, I looked at him and he was a stranger to me. Very solemn, grave type person and a stranger. And he blocked me to where I couldn't get out. And I thought, what am I going to do? That's a stranger. He means to do me harm. Because he looked very, very grave-like. But all of a sudden, I took a running start toward him just as hard as I could go in the vision. And just as I took a running start, as I came close to him, he became the hooded figure of death. And I saw he was death. There he was. And I run right into him. And when I run right into him, all of a sudden, he went away. And I came out of the vision. And on another occasion when these hooded men had taken me away from my home and they come and got me and they took me into a cave, into a huge cave. When I went into this cave, I saw hooded men all around. And then I saw this man that was back up on a ledge elevated like as to a throne or whatever. And I realized that it was Lucifer and that they had taken me into captivity. And there I stood helpless. And as I stood there before Lucifer and before those powers of evil, I thought, well, what am I going to do? I'm in the midst of them and I don't have any way of getting out of here. I don't even know the way out of here. And then God began to speak to me and tell me that I had power over all of them. And I began to, instead of shrinking back and drawing back from Lucifer as I was about to do, all of a sudden I rose up in boldness. And I started moving toward Lucifer. And I was telling him in the name of the Lord Jesus what God would do for him and that I had power over him. And I was moving up there like I was going to devour him. And it as you say, we say, scare the life out of you. He got scared and nervous and tore up and he blowed up like a balloon that busted. And I come out of the vision. See, to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You can put, one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. So then, I said that to get back to our main theme of thought here. You cannot die. You cannot die. The body is gone. It's buried. It's no more. You're free from the body of that death. You cannot die. But when you get ready to sleep, when you finish your course, should you not tarry till Jesus comes? When you go to lay down to sleep, Satan will come. The death angel will come to claim you, but he won't be able to do that. He can claim neither your body nor your spirit. Because your body is now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And your spirit is now the nature and spirit of Almighty God as to the spirit of Jesus Christ. And he cannot get anything. That's why that the Bible teaches when he came for the body of Moses, that the angel of the Lord said, Satan, the Lord rebuked thee. And that's why that Jude speaks of these things. And the writer speaks of the dispute over the body. The body had been in the presence of God so long that it had bypassed death, even sleep, to the extent that, as it was with Elijah, bypassing it, Enoch, bypassing sleep, the others that bypassed sleep, as to who? God took them into heaven. Even Paul went up into the third heaven, saying, whether in my body or out of my body, I cannot tell. It could have been when Paul was stoned and they left him for dead that this thing happened, that his spirit left his body. Like Brother Branham laying on the bed, he said, in my spirit left my body, and I looked back and I saw my body laying there, but my spirit was in heaven. People who fast, people who pray, people who keep the body pulled down to where it's not so eager to have passions and lust and human relation and eating and drinking and buying and selling and joking and laughing. These things, they that keep their bodies under subjection, as Paul said, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection. They that do this can see visions, and the gifts will work in their life, and the virtues of Christ will flow through that rent veil. See, that veil is there, is that intellectual veil, and Jesus has rent that veil, the Bible said, making a way for you as through his own body, as to the rending of the veil, having made in himself twain the separation of the spirit and the body. Rending it in two, I say again, that your body might be dead as to the burial in the name of the Lord Jesus, and that your spirit might be in heaven. As Jesus said, the Son of Man who was in heaven and who is in heaven. So then, you don't have to worry, like the songwriter said, and I won't have to worry anymore. So you don't have to worry anymore, because God has delivered you from death. He's delivered you from death. And the way he did it, the Bible said at Calvary, he destroyed him, even Satan, that hath power over death. So then to you, there is no devil. To you, there is no Satan. To you, there is no Lucifer. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, who is this that's giving me all of my trouble? You are causing yourself all of your trouble. He tells you not to mess with those things, to come out from among the world. He tells you to walk upright before God. And even if there was a devil, as to the way you would term it, the Bible said he toucheth you not. So it's not him touching you, it's you that's giving yourself all the problems. You know, if they say it's off limits to a place and terror and problems there, you need to stay away from that place. So the mind of Lucifer and carnality in the world is off limits to you and I. Someone would say, well, how is it that there's no devil to me, Brother Pike? I'm speaking to the believer. Because Jesus said, I destroyed him that hath power over death. Who is he that hath power over death? I've destroyed him. So if the Lord has destroyed him, how can he still be around? Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody said, well, what is this I'm going through? You're going through hallucinations, wild hysteria, fear and frustration and anxiety. When he told you not to let your heart be troubled, you are a doper. You keep going out getting the dope, and you're having your flashbacks. See, even some of you that's come off of it, you still have your flashbacks. So then you need to believe in God. You need to love the Lord. Someone would say, well, the devil still gives me trouble. Well, you need to be born again. How many of you know that the devil is in the earth? That when Jesus came into your heart, he cast the devil out of you like he did the seven devils out of the woman? How do you know that? And that when the man child went up as soon as he was born, as to the inner you, caught up to the kingdom of God within you? For the kingdom of God is within you, in that it is Christ within you, the hope of glory. How many of you know that the devil went out of you? And the only power he has is to aggravate you as that one that lives in the earth, Lucifer, the god of this world. And that as long as your body is dead, he isn't going to bother your inner man. As long as you abstain from worldly lust, he can't war against your soul, which is sealed with the Spirit of God. Did you know that even the Holy Spirit
can be grieved, dwelling on the inside of you. He can be grieved by your misdemeanors of life and the things that you do. Whereas the Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed as to the inner man, unto the day of redemption. You're not to grieve him, therefore your spirit can be grieved because you allow the devil to do those things. And fear, he said, fear not. Don't let your heart be troubled. You have the power to keep it from being troubled. He said, fear not, only believe. So then, I said those few little things to you before I read that you might stop and think. You cannot die the body without the spirit. The Bible says it's dead. As to your terminology of dead, Jesus said Lazarus sleepeth. They said he's dead. Then Jesus said he's dead. You know, that's your terminology for it. But anyway, the spirit leaving the body, it's only going to God, and it's not dead. It's like Lazarus was. It's like Abraham was. It's in paradise. It can see, it can think, it can talk. It's much alive. If your spirit goes into hell, it is in the lake. It is in the fire. So then, we've explained some things concerning the difference between what you refer to as hell in the lake of fire as to life in paradise. But nevertheless, I can't go through those things every night. They're on tape, and you can go back and get them. But I do refresh your mind on the theme of our subject that you might understand what we're trying to tell you. So the body of this death is gone. Satan is thus gone for a Christian. You pass from death unto life, and you dwell in heaven. And in that your dwelling is in heaven, Satan can't get near you. The Bible said these things will fall around you and not come nigh your dwelling. How can it come nigh your dwelling? Because your dwelling is in heaven, and Satan has been cast out, and Satan, for your sake, has been destroyed. He has been destroyed, and the only ones that he still exists as in their minds or in their lives is to those that are in perversion, that's having hallucinations, and those that are looking at lying vanities. To observe lying vanities is to forsake your own mercy. So then God is our mercy through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And if you observe the world, observe the lying vanities and these things of the world, then you're not going to believe in the atonement of Jesus Christ or those wonderful things of God, because your mind is observing that is lying vanities, that which has been taken away. So then he has destroyed him that hath power over death, and you're not to observe Satan. You're not to magnify Satan. You're not to think him into existence in your world. You're not to be afraid. You're not to let your heart be troubled. You're to confess the word of God, believe the word of God. And the Bible said, always keep this word of God before your eyes. Always confessing him, believing in him, praising him, and loving him, because he is your life. And the Bible said, when he, our life, shall appear, and he will appear, he will appear. All right, I'm going to read this now a little bit here. Chapter 3, it says, in the 1 John chapter 3, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed, speaking of Christ's seed, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother.
All right, so then we see he makes it real clear here now. He says here to us that if you transgress the law, then you are a sinner, because transgression of the law is sin. And he said, whosoever transgresses the law sins. But he said that you and I cannot transgress the law. We cannot sin. There's no way that we can sin. This is why I boldly preach that we cannot die. If I cannot sin, I say to you again, as I've said so many times, that if I cannot sin, I cannot die. For to die, you must sin. You must sin, because the sting of death is sin. If you're going to die, there's got to be sin, because the sting of death is sin. And the Bible says that you are born of God and you cannot sin, because Christ, your hope of glory, he remaineth in you as the seed of faith. And you're justified by faith, and God purifies your heart by faith. And because you're born of God, you cannot sin. And that's why I said, now, beloved, are you the sons of God? You're already the sons of God. I am not trying to live good so I can get to be a son of God down at the end of the way. I'm not trying to be a good person so that down at the end of the way I can be saved. I'm not trying to do that. I am already a son of God. I've already passed from death unto life. I already have eternal life. I can never come into condemnation, because the Bible said there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And someone would say, but Brother Pike, what if you walk after the flesh? There is no possible way that you can walk after the flesh when you're born of God. For the Bible said you are not in the flesh. I have chosen you out of the flesh. And I have hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the change of the restoring of all things. And someone would say, how did he choose me out of the flesh? By the rending of the veil. When the veil was rent in two, the body was separated from the spirit. The body of Jesus Christ was smitten of God and killed for your sake. And in the killing of that body, the Bible said, he that knew no sin was made your sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Or it was at Calvary that the body was separated, your body was smitten. For when God smote the body, that was Brother Pike he was smiting. That was you that he was smiting. And he that knew no sin became your sins. And God smote your sins and put away the body of your flesh. Thus at death, the spirit went back to God who gave it. And that body was buried in his name, as to baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of sin. That body is now dead. It is now buried, just as much as any body that you bury and put out in the cemetery. So you say cemetery, you're talking about the cementery. That is, they cement them in. So you put them out in the cemetery. But the person, when you are born again, your body is dead by the body of Jesus. And it's been cemented in. Or that is, it's been put out in the cemetery. And there it stays. Because it is dead, it is gone. And now, as having been buried with him, Paul said, then we have put on the Lord Jesus Christ, even the body of the Lord Jesus, as our inner man has put it on, that we have the wedding garment, which is the body of the Lord Jesus, that when we appear at the supper, everything will be all right. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions to fulfill the lust of the flesh as to turn and be a grave robber. Let your body be dead. For the body is dead because of sin. Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Within my body there dwelleth no good thing. So the body is dead. The body is buried. I'm delivered from the body of that death, as to what Satan had infiltrated. And the veil is rent in twain. And now the veil between me and God, as to this body of infiltration, is no more between me and God. And I now see God face to face, because my inner man was caught up into heaven. It's not in the flesh anymore. We are they that dwell in heaven. So then we are not in the earth. Our inner man is caught up into God. And that's why we talk godly. And that's why we think godly. And that's why we act godly. Somebody that goes out here and does not act godly, does not think godly, then they are not godly. If they do not that which is righteousness, then they're not righteous. They may be a believer,
and they may go to church and come back to church and be religious and all these kind of things. But I tell you again, if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil also believes there is one God, and he trembles when he thinks about it. So it's like the devil said to the men that tried to cast them out there in the New Testament. Said, Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know. That is, I know there's a God. I know his name is Jesus. And I know that he has men, workers, sons of God. I know Jesus and Paul, I know, but I don't know anything about you. Oh, who are you? So the Bible said, this man in whom the devils were in, they overcame the others and tore them until they fled naked and bruised. So demons are powerful. They're so powerful they can break chains as legion. When he was there among the tombs, they bound him with chains, but the demons popped the chains. And it's the same way with the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God came upon Samson, spirits are so powerful that he just reached and caught a lion and rend him as though he'd been a little goat, or the Bible calls it a kid. So then, we realize that we have passed from death unto life. We have the Holy Ghost on the inside. The Bible said, and when you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power, and you shall be witnesses for me, first in Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. So then we realize that we've got the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of Christ on the inside, in that we're born again, and that is power. Christ is the power over all the powers of the enemy. And according to the measure of Christ that you'd like to have, you can have it. You can go on to the full measure of Christ, the full measure. As to the full measure of the full stature of Christ, or to the full reward, or you can come freely and partake of the waters of life, and you don't have to have any money. And you can go on to the full measure. Let whosoever will come. What I've said to one, I say to all. Many are called, but it depends on whether or not you are the chosen of God. You must believe and then receive his Spirit, because if you have not his Spirit, then of course you're not his. You're none of his. So then we find ourselves born again. We are already the sons of God. Already the sons of God. I want you to let this really get into your heart. We are already the sons of God. Don't let this thing, you know, orbit around your thinking and around your mind that if you live good, someday you'll overcome and then you'll be a son of God, and someday you'll overcome and then you'll have eternal life. Folks, look, I overcame because of what Jesus did, not because what I'm going to do. I overcame because of what he done for me. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, when did he do it for you? Before the world ever was. The Bible said this was given to me in Christ before the world ever was. And my name was written down in the Lamb's book of life. And the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, in the mind of God, the Bible speaks of it. And before the world ever was, God secured his people. And he secured me. But the only thing is, I did not learn about this until Calvary. For the Bible said, given to us before the world ever was in Christ, and then brought to light or revealed or made revelation at Calvary. When John writes about the revelation, 96 AD, exiled to this little isle of Patmos, it was shortly after Calvary, he is writing about the revealed Christ, the inner Christ. He's writing the revealed thing as to the rending of the veil, which is Calvary, to let us know that we are now in the realms of the perfect world. After Calvary, that which is perfect has come. The Bible said, and when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away with. And here we are on this side of Calvary, and Jesus was the perfect one. So now then, that which is perfect has come. What is that which is perfect? Jesus, even the head of the church. And therefore, if the head be perfect, then is the body perfect. For the Bible said, he hath perfected forever, or made perfect them that are sanctified. And he has sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ at Calvary. What can we then say, Paul said? Can anybody be against us? Can anything be against us? For who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect, in that God is the one that elected us unto grace? And the Bible said we're God's elect before knowledge. Who can lay anything to our charge? It is God that has justified us by his own righteousness, by his own works, and we are his works.
in Christ Jesus. What he wrought in Christ Jesus before the world ever was, that's what I am. As Christ is, so am I, and I'm heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ. As to whatever he hath, so it is mine. And the Bible says God has given us all things that pertain unto life. So then we see that if God be for us, no one can be against us. Shall tribulation separate us from the love of God? No. I've been through many tribulations. Shall heartaches and sorrows and miseries and all of the things of the world, shall they separate me from the love of God? No. Can lust separate me from the love of God? No. Can the desire of this world separate me from the love of God? No. Because I am sealed on the inside and Satan cannot touch me. The perfection that I preached to you this morning of going on and leaving the principles of the doctrine has to do with the development of your body as to the full measure of the full stature, that is to allow whatever measure you will allow to be in you, that you can utilize the strength and ability for God, and to let God live in the temple and reach out through you to the world to evangelize the world and to make you great in the sight of the people. As God took a man from the sheepcote, raised him up, made him great, as he took Samuel, as he took David, as he took Elijah, as he took Abraham, as he took Isaac, and the many others, and raised them up, Paul and the others, to make them great in the sight of God. And then when it was said of John, that John shall be great in the sight of God. Well, anyway, I'm just saying that, I get a little excited, but I'm just saying that we are already the sons of God. This is exciting to me. You know, I'm already a son of God. I say again to you, supposing the son of the president came down tonight, you know, you'd want to show him a little extra respect, you know. Somebody said, well, not me. Well, I'm not talking to ignorant folks. I'm talking to folks that's got some reason about it. So if the son came down here, you'd want to go out of your way just a little bit because he's the son of a president. He is royal. We wouldn't go out of our way to do something for him to that would be less than what we would do with a saint of God. But we'd go out of our way a little bit to do something extra for him. You understand what I'm saying? Now then, if that be true, then tonight I go out of my way. I go out of my way for you, because if I would go out of my way for the son of the president to be a little extra toward him, I go out of my way 10 times 10 above that, because you are the son of the Almighty God. You are the sons of God. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God? See, the people in Monroe, if they knew that this was a gathering of sons and daughters of God, wouldn't they be here tonight? Wouldn't the dignitaries be here? Wouldn't the president of the United States be here? Wouldn't George Bush be here if he knew that these were sons of Almighty God that had come down from heaven and was gathering here in Monroe? Wouldn't he do that? Of course he would. You know he would. Anybody with any sense, wouldn't they fly from overseas? Wouldn't they come from the far corners of the earth? The Bible said the Queen of Sheba heard of the wisdom of Solomon, came from the far ends of the earth and came from the ends of the earth to hear his wisdom. And said, I've heard all about your wisdom, but the half of it hasn't been told. You're so wise that with all they told me, the half of it hasn't been told. Well, she said, your people are so contented. They're contented just to sit at your feet and listen at the things that you have to say. And I said that again to say this, are ye the sons of God? Sure, we're the sons of God. Am I going to trade sonship, as to say, rather than be a son of God, I want to be some celebrity or something out here in the world, or I want to go out there and I want to dabble around in the mire? I want to go as the swine to the wallowing in the mire. The old sow, Jesus said, after that they've been washed, shall go back to the wallowing in the mire. And said, after the dog has been cleaned up, he'll go back to his lapping of the vomit. Do I want to go to that? No, because I'm not a dog, neither am I a pig. I am a son of God. So then where am I found? I'm found in heaven. I'm also found with sons of God. I'm here with sons of God. I am in heaven. Somebody would say, you're crazy, Brother Pike. Well, like David Paul said, if I'm crazy, leave me alone. I'm happy, and that's what the world is looking for. You want to be happy, it's for sure that you ain't happy being what you are. And if I'm happy being what I am doing, what I am being, then you need to leave me alone, because that's what we need. We need a bunch of psychiatrists to tell you to get over here with this happy brother Pike. Let's give the Lord a hand. Yeah, I'm not down on psychiatrists. A lot of psychiatrists can help you. They talk to you. They have a good understanding. And some of them's just a lot of garbage, you know. They're just out to make a dollar. That's where they get their money, and they put you on their payroll. But the thing is, I want you to know that we're sons of God. We are now sons of God. We are now sons of God. Beloved, now are you the sons of God. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody sings that song, when we all get to heaven, what rejoicing there will be. But folks, we're already in heaven. It's time to rejoice forevermore. Let's give the Lord a hand. It said, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. So, we could go on from there as to saying something about the rapture. But we won't do that tonight. We just want to stay with this one little thought here. Now, beloved, we are the sons of God. And Brother Taylor sings that song. We are the sons of God. So then, we are the sons of God. How do you feel? He again sings that song. How did you feel when you come out of the wilderness? So then, we are sons of God. Here I am, a son of God. Would I trade my sonship for anything? There's not anything I would trade it for. I'm singing that song. I don't need any gold or silver. I don't need any gold or silver. Why? Because I own all the gold mines, and I own all the silver mines. I own all the diamond mines. I own all the ruby mines. The Bible said God has given me all things that pertain unto life. He said all things are yours, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. So I have everything. Why is it that I should worry about anything? Paul said meat for the belly and belly for the meat, but I'll not come under the bondage of any of it. So I keep under my body, I bring it into subjection, lest after I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. I am a son of God. Somebody said, well, praise God, now we know, let's dismiss and go back to the belly. Let's give the Lord another one. I want to get to my supper. The old serpent is on his belly. The Bible said all of his labors for his belly, because his belly craves it of him. All of his labors for his mouth and for his belly. His thoughts are always on eating and drinking or buying or selling or doing something for the old serpent, which is the outer being. But the Bible said, though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. The outer man should perish. You should get away from him. Don't do anything for him. All you need to do is just keep him alive, that's all. And keep him in moderation, and don't give him a chance to do anything. Just keep him under subjection and go on your way rejoicing in the Lord and serving the Lord. See, because you are a son of God. I want to leave this with you now. You are a son of God. You're not trying to get to be a son of God. If you are trying to get to be a son of God, then you are not born again. You are not born again. But if you're born again, then you was born the son of God. Now, I can die out of this life as to what they term death. That is, the body can go to sleep. But I cannot die out of the second birth. There is no death in the second birth. There's no death within the inner man. In the second birth, you cannot die out of heaven. You cannot die out of the spirit. You can never die. When you're born into that life, then you are a son of God. Because you're born again, you're born a son of God in the God family, into the God family, having been baptized into one body as a membership by one spirit of life, it has made you a member of that body. So then we are sons of God. We cannot die. We're born into sonship. You're daughters of the Lord. The Bible speaks of the daughters of the Lord. You're born into this as a daughter of the Lord, and your sons and daughters of God. You cannot die. See, let me say this again. John makes it clear. Now, beloved, are ye the sons of God? He tells you that you are sons of God because you pass from death unto life. He said, because you cannot sin. See, a son of God cannot sin. What is a son of God? I say this so often. He is a God. What is a God? A God is something that cannot die. Jesus said, I've called ye gods.
You cannot die. A thing that cannot die is a God. People die. Things pass away. Animals die. But a God never dies. He's to every generation. And so then ye are eternal gods. Your inner man is an eternal God. It can never die. And I tell you again, you say, well, what about this outer life? There is no outer life. There is no outer life. Somebody says, well, I'd like to get these things in harmony. I'd like to get this outer life in harmony with this inner life. Well, you'll never do that because there is no such thing as outer life. Somebody says, well, what about this life within my body? That is the inner life. That is the spirit. The body will go to sleep when that spirit leaves. There's no such thing as life in the body. It'll get cold and still when the spirit or the inner man leaves, and it'll rigor mortis will set in. I know that. I used to work at a funeral home. Just in a little while, you'll be stiff as a board. They can pick you up under the heel and pick you under the head, and you'll never bend. And when they lay you in the casket, sometimes they have to break the neck if they don't get there before rigor mortis sets in. That's why the undertaker tried to hurry over to get you so he could set your neck to the pillar, or he'll have to break your neck to set it to the pillar. So then there's nothing to the outer man. It's just dust. It's made out of particles. You understand what I'm saying? So then if there is a life within your body, whereas there is a life that is there, it is a perverted life of the devil, and it's no good. And it's there to lust and to cheat and to swindle and kill and murder by taking your inner life into bondage by this outer strength. Because in your original creation, there is no life in your body except from your inner man. And Satan, having worked through the human senses, as your taste and smell and feel and whatever, it's like a tree rooted. And he has come in through these human senses, taken control of your body, works in your flesh to get control of your life on the inside, and it's like a rat with a perverted mind that has control over the life on the inside and uses that body in a perverted manner. So all life comes from God, but sometimes it's harnessed in the wrong way. Take a person that's got a gift. They've got a gift. They can see visions. They can tell you things because they're gifted of God. But take another person. They've got a gift. They can tell you things like Balaam did. But the Bible said they love the wages of unrighteousness. And they've given their gifts into the hands of Satan. And they are a fortune teller. Or they are some woman, by the way, his mother, whatever, that's collecting dollars. See, and people who are void of understanding go to those witches. That's a witch that does those things. And in the Old Testament, God had them killed because they were called peepers. And they could peep over into the other world. See, they'd gotten a hold of a gift, born with a gift. But like Balaam, though he had a gift and could fall into a trance and see God with his eyes open, that is to see the Lord. But the thing is, the Bible says, he loved the wages of unrighteousness, and God had him killed because of his iniquity. Because he loved the wages of unrighteousness. Well, we can't get into that tonight. That would go a long ways. It's like Brother Branham. I guess you probably remember this case. It comes to my mind when Brother Branham was standing in a store having a gift of God and this great supernatural ability in God. And this woman walked in and said, I recognize you. Said, you're one of us. And he said, no, I'm not one of you. I work by the power of God, and you work by the power of the devil. And she turned to walk out and drop dead. So see, we have power over the powers of the enemy. You can pervert things in your life. You can prophesy for like a woman. I know of this woman. She's a great woman of renown. And she says, I'm going to prophesy. Now, she said, before I do, I want you to know, you can have a $10 prophecy or $25 prophecy or $100 prophecy, whatever you'd like to have, you know. And this is the way they do. Preachers sell their ministry, their gifts, their abilities by taking up offerings and drawing great multitudes and becoming outstanding figures on TV and whatever. But we're not a they that corrupt the word of God. We believe in the ways of the Lord, and we do the things of God, and we want to be clean and holy and godly because we're of God. So then if we are, the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And so tonight I speak to you God's word. Now, beloved, are the sons of God. That is to say, once again, you cannot die. This is what made you a God, and that's what makes you a son of God. You're born of his nature. You cannot die. You pass from death unto life, and you have the ability to translate your body, even as Enoch translated his body. When I say translate the body, I'm really saying transfigure the body, because you're translated in the spirit, you're transformated in the mind, and you're transfigured in the body. It's a three-dimensional thing with God. So you have the power to do that. Now, whether you do or not, there's going to be a collective change, at Thessalonians change, and this change is going to transfigure your body. The church in general is going to be transfigured when the Lord Jesus appears in the heaven. So there's going to be a transfiguration, whether you can do that now as Enoch did or not, it's going to come. You just hold on. It's coming. So then death is conquered. Death, where is thy sting? Where is thy sting? And if there's no sting of death, then there's no death. And if grave, where's thy victory? What victory do you hold over the saints of God? So then we may go to sleep. But the thing is, it's like the vision I saw where the bed was there. You could lay down on it and go to sleep. Beautiful bed. You know, there's nothing more beautiful than a casket. Have you ever noticed that? Just open that casket up and look at it, and it's just beautiful. You know, if you're tired, you just lay down in there. So, and of course, if you ever get used to it, you can sleep in the next room, you know, with them. But the thing is, you have to get adjusted to it. So, people who die don't have any problem getting adjusted to that nice bed. I've been delivered from death. You've been delivered from death. And now are we gods? And now are ye gods? And now you cannot sin. You cannot die. Transgression of the law. Let this go deep down in your heart now. The Bible said, give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you let them slip. And take heed how that you hear them so that you don't misconstrue them to somebody else. And remember, we've had people that just passed away. And remember, you're going to pass away. Every one of you that's sitting here, from the child over to the grandparent, you're going to die. You're going to pass away. They're going to put you in a hole. I don't care how brilliant you are or how much education you got or where you dwell in the world. It doesn't matter if your ability or strength or whatever. Your appearance, you're going to die. Unless the change comes, as to the Thessalonian change, you're going to die. And they're going to put you in a hole. And I said this morning, and I say it again to you tonight. When you see the graveyard, that's the end of all flesh. And when you pass by, you say, grandmother's there, and daddy's there, and brother's there, and sister's there, and friend's there. But one day somebody's going to drive by, and they're going to say, you are there. Because it's coming your time. And you need to listen to these things, because when the death angel comes, it's going to be different altogether. As long as you eat, as long as you drink, as long as everything's all right, as long as you're young and strong and flighty, that's fine. But as you grow older, and you don't have to grow old to die. Statistics have shown, according to what I've understood, that as in the last year or so, that more young people are dying in that they're doped up and getting killed than aged people that die out of reason of age. So then, you're going to die. Remember that, whether young or whether old, you're going to die. It says, I said of Barbara, she was here with us. She's been here in service with us. Many times she's been here. But the thing is, she wasn't an old woman. She was a young woman, but she died. See, and you need to give the earnest heed to what I'm saying, because you're going to die. And the least resistance in your spirit toward the word of God, toward the spirit of God, toward the minister that watches for your soul, puts you in jeopardy and puts you in trouble. David Paul again said tonight that the man thought himself so important. He said, I want you to get out of my way. But
The man at the lighthouse knew that he was the stable one, that whether big or small, it was unstable that was floating on the waves. And he said, I remind you again that I'm the lighthouse. I'm the lighthouse. And you don't need to get upset with the man in the lighthouse. You need to make adjustments according to the course as he gives it to you. So Paul said, you did run well. Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? I'm giving you your course. Every night we come here, I'm trying to chart out your course. And I'm trying to keep you in line. Joseph back there was the man that charted our course a lot of times when we was out in the boat. Danny would be piloting and Joe was good at charting. And he would chart out the way. And there was a lot of twists and turns. We'd come to a place, be three or four ways that you could go. And he charted out for us. We've got somebody on board that can chart the course. We've got somebody that's on board that can pilot. And the thing that we need to do is submit ourselves under the leadership of the people, whether minister or whoever it might be helping us, and try to stay out of the treacherous places. In doing that, we save our life and the lives of those that hear us. All right, let me complete this thought in closing. Transgression of the law is sin. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. Where there's no transgression, there is no sin. The sting of death is sin, and where there is no sin, there is no sting of death. That is to say, if there's no sin, there's no death. So then Jesus folded up the law, laid it away by smiting your body, killing your body, and taking your body out of this world. You're now dead to the law by the body of the Lord Jesus. For the law hath no power over them people that are dead and laying in the cemetery. So then your body is dead. Consider it to be dead indeed unto sin. And your inner man is alive unto God. And he was delivered for your offenses and raised again for your justification, which is by faith. God hath perfected you forever. By his works, he hath justified you by faith of Jesus. And the Bible said the faith by which you're sanctified. Having sanctified you once and for all by the offering up of the body of his own righteousness, the works of Jesus Christ, then he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And he hath glorified them as to the inner man, sealed them that the evil spirit of Lucifer or of death can never touch them. All right, let's stand together. Some of these things you've heard. Some of these things you haven't heard. What I do, I bring out the old and the new. The Bible said the man brings out of his treasure both old and new. I bring these out to you as some that I've spoken to you, that I might take those as a foundation to bring out other things and add it unto these things that you're listening at, to fit it all together again and again and again. I reach back and get something. Then on the other hand, people who see this on TV or wherever it might go, they never get a chance to hear some of these things. And I have to go back and kind of piece them together and fit them together as detail that they might understand and know these things. Let me tell you, folks, you might feel great. You might feel outstanding. You might feel special. But there's one thing about it. You're going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You're going to die. So you need to consider Christ. And whatever your plans are in life, take Christ into the arrangements. Whatever they might be, always take Christ into the arrangements and acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways that he might direct your path and be children of peace to make peace, for all the paths of God are peace. You consider this, take God with you in anything that you do, and you'll be successful. For the Bible said, whatsoever that man shall do will prosper. Confess your sins, forsake your sins, whatever you do will prosper. Cover your sins. The Bible teaches that not anything that you do will prosper. So then take the Lord with you in all of your plans. Whatever plans you're making, take the Lord with you. And then God will make your way prosperous, and he will bless you. And he said, if you wanted to be well with you and your children all the days of your life, then acknowledge the Lord and forsake iniquity. Cleanse your mouth from iniquity. Don't speak iniquity. and it'll be well with you and your children all the days of your life. But the soul that sinneth shall surely die. You're going to die if you're not born again, if you don't have His Spirit, and you're going to go into the lake of fire. So I'm telling you tonight, as one that loves you, as a pastor that's always pleading with you, always talking with you, always indoctrinating you, always programming your mind so you'll know how to meet the days that's coming and the oppositions that's coming, and to give an answer to everyone that asketh of this hope that lieth within you, because they're going to ask. So then, I don't frustrate the grace of God. I tell you exactly the way that it is. You're going to die. They're going to put you in a hole. But if you go with God, when you go to sleep, if you should go to sleep before Jesus comes, Paul said, I show you a mystery, will not all sleep. But if you go to sleep before Jesus comes, if you're not born again and your spirit is to the inner man, you'll go into the lake of fire. And if you've got your mind on yourself, if you've got your mind on the world, if you've got your mind on things, if you've got your mind on eating, drinking, brothers, sisters, mama, daddy, daughters, sons, whatever it is, things you love to do, then you're carnal minded. And the Bible said you'll die. You must have your mind on Christ day and night, to meditate in His laws day and night. And the Bible said to cast down every thought till there's not one left, that every thought is brought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, to meditate in His laws day and night. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, Sister Dale. Sing this little song, There's Room at the Cross for You. The altars are open. When we start singing, the altars are always open. Well, what is the preacher doing tonight? He's giving away eternal life. Some is not interested. The reason is because they'd rather play ball and go to the ball game and watch them take the pig skin, as has been said, and wallow in the mud. Some would rather go to the ball game, where they tell them when they're having their strategy, break his neck, break his leg, do anything but get him out of the game, because lots of money is bet on those games. It's big time gambling. So, we're giving away eternal life. But someone says, I'd rather have the world, and I'd rather have the things of the world, and I'd rather go the way of the world, and I'd rather feel those feelings of passion and give myself to the lust of the flesh. I'd rather have a little money, a bank account, prestige. I'd rather do my thing. I enjoy buying and selling and getting gain and going and traveling and laughing and talking and joking and gossiping and backbiting and whatever. But nevertheless, there are some that are wise men that followed the star to find where the babe laid, and to worship the babe and to bring gifts to the babe. So then tonight, it's up to you. We try to make it as plain as we can to where you can thoroughly understand. Isn't it something? Someone stays at home to fast and pray and to study the Bible. Someone stays at home so they can meditate in the laws of God. And for days they're inactive. But someone else says, no, they'll miss me. I'm going to be active. I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be alive. They'll know I'm around. But all you do when you get out there is you eat and you drink and you frolic and you ride and you talk and you do things that don't amount to anything. And you spend all of your life being seen and being active and being alive, as you say. Out there in the world, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, you really haven't done anything when you get through. It's just the same old grind. It's the same old Indian death walk that you went through yesterday and the day before, whether you dope it up or whether you get mixed up in passions as to temporal satisfaction. Whereas the Bible said Moses, rather than enjoy sin season, chose to suffer the afflictions with the righteous. And esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater treasures than the riches of Egypt. The Bible said Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame thereof. He endured it for the joys He saw set before Him. So let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let's do something for God. Because you're dying every day. You are one day nearer the grave. When you're born, every day makes you one day nearer the grave. One day older, one day nearer the grave. So then let's consider the Lord. It's gone, that stony heart's rolled back, gone, and the tomb, it's empty, gone. Do you believe that you're they that dwell in heaven? The old stony heart's gone. He said, I'll take out the heart of stone. That Christ that's been entombed on the inside, gone back to God who gave it. The life that came from God has gone back to God who gave it, because the heart of stone has been rolled away. So it's gone. Do you feel that you're sitting yonder in glory with Christ? The Bible says, and he that overcometh shall sit down in the throne of my Father, even as I have overcome. So then tonight, do you feel that you're no longer in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit? And it's not your living now, but Christ, he that dwelleth in heaven, gone. And that stone, it's rolled back, gone. And the tomb, it's empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. For it's gone. Over day, triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And he lives forevermore. For it's gone. I saw the stone, it's rolled back. I saw the tomb, it's empty. He's gone to sit at the Father's side. He's gone over death, triumphant. Gone. Sin is defeated. Death is gone. And he lives forevermore. Remember now, death is defeated. So he's gone. The stony heart is rolled back. Gone. Death is defeated. Gone. To sit at my Father's side. For he's gone over death triumphant. I like that, don't you? Sin is defeated, gone. And I live forevermore. For he's gone, my stony heart is rolled back, gone. I saw the tomb, it's empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. For he's gone over death, triumphant, gone. Death is defeated, gone. And I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. One more time. Oh, it's gone. The stony heart is rolled back, gone. The tomb, it's empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. For he's gone. Oh, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And he lives forevermore. If sin is defeated, and you know that sin is defeated, then why do we confess sin in our life? Why do we confess sin? Do you really believe, as I preach here, that he that is born of God cannot sin? Let me see your hand if you believe that. Are you telling me then that you do not sin? Why are you telling me that? Because sin is defeated. Why are you telling me that you cannot sin? Because you're born of God. Do you believe you're born of God? Hallelujah. Why is it then that we are afraid of death? Isn't it true that he that is born of God cannot die? Isn't it true that already you're the sons of God? Already you're the sons of God? Has it been made manifest in your outer being that people can see what you are as a son of God? Because I say again, one son of God unveiled would outshine the brightness of the noonday. The sun will never be able to shine again. Are then you the sons of God? Then are you gods that live eternally? Are you then alive forevermore? Do you believe that? If you don't believe that, then you don't have that. But down deep in your heart, do you believe that? Have you just cast yourself on the Lord to say, God, here am I. I believe that with all of my soul, all of my mind, all of my strength, all of my body. I refuse to have any reasoning. I refuse to have any thinking. I refuse to have any kind of thoughts in my mind. I'm not going to do it. I'm here. I'm yours eternally and forever. God, then call me an ignoramus or whatever they want to, but I'm falling prostrate at your feet. I'm leaning on you. God, I love you. That's what I am. I am eternal. Let's give him a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I like being eternal. I like being eternal. Hallelujah. So then we don't have to fret anymore. And the songwriter says, and I won't have to worry anymore. We're talking about the rapture, talking about the defeat of sin, talking about the change. What is the rapture? It is when you are changed into his body. What is Brother Pike doing? I'm preaching to you about another body. I am preaching to you that gone is the body of this death. And now we're no more who we were, but we now are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is this indoctrination that brings the faith. Come on, folks. For the change. What is the change? The rapture. Somebody says, when he comes, I'm going to be caught up. No. No, you got it all wrong. All wrong. You misinterpreted the scriptures. Well, what's going to happen, Brother Pike? It said you'll be changed. Changed. Somebody said, I'll be caught up. No. It says you'll be changed. It said the dead in Christ shall rise first. And ye which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. You'll be changed right here in this present world. Folks, don't look for something that's coming outside of this world. Some great thing that's coming that you can get out of here. And then you go through all of these things. It's right here at Bethlehem in this present world, in the little Bethlehem church, that you got to make your change if you're here. Love the Lord. That's why I'm preaching to you a change. So then if I program your mind and you're sick, and I program your mind to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if I program your mind to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ when you are a sinner, and then you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what happens? What happens? You get born again. Because I preached it to you first. And then if you're sick, and I preach to you that by his stripes you're healed, and you believe that, what happens? You become healed because I programmed your mind to believe that. And if you're going to be changed, and I preach to you the change, of what the change is, what he has done concerning the change, and who you already now are, and you believe that, what's going to happen to you? Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, so we're far upon our journey. The songwriter said, too far upon our journey to ever turn back now. So then it's over. Calvary was the fullness of time. And here you are, born into your generation, as I often remind you, to cause these things to find a lodging place within your heart, to where you can believe. Am I eternal? Sure, I'm eternal. Am I going to die? Of course not. Are you going to die? Of course not. You're eternal. Are you going to age? Of course not. The spirit, the inner man, the life never ages. And we could explain some things there as to the inner man and the outer man. I wish we had all night like Paul did. But nevertheless, there's something great and mighty that is taking place in the lives of people, that has taken place in the lives of people. Where do you find time? You know where you find time. The Jews are coming in. The change of your body will have to do with that. When the days of the Gentiles are finished, it will mean the indoctrination has been finished, the mysteries have been revealed, and the saints now know that they're heavenly, they're eternal, they pass from death unto life, can never come into condemnation, and it will cause them to have the staunch confidence that there's no way that they can be lost. And with that kind of positive faith, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. That makes him eternal. And about that time, the Jews will come on the scene. And when they come in, that means the redemption of the body is here, having to do with the purchase of the ground over behind the walls. It will mean then that the change of the body is here. And as they come to the forefront, Paul said, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, as to letting the Gentiles come to their course, then what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? For the dead shall rise first. And ye that are here that remain and are alive, at his coming shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That mystery must be finished. So then, here we are, right down at the end time. Right down at the end time. Right down at the end time. So the Jews are about to come on the scene now. They're all ready. The world is about ready to boycott against the Jews. The Jews are about ready to come to the forefront. That means it's time for the Gentiles to get out of here now. It's time for the church. It's time for the church. See, to get out of here, that translation, that transfiguration, which is the change. You've already went through the translation. For the Bible said, God hath, that is right now, already translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God, just like Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. So we don't see death. And now we have already, our face coming to the end of the transformation of the mind. Whereas the Bible said, be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind, that which was translated into the kingdom of God is the inner man, the spirit, has now from measure to measure, glory to glory, from revelation to revelation, working its way from the inner kingdom into the outer man, is now just about complete as to that course, as to that secret work. And with that, the last indoctrination is to the change, which will be the transfiguration of the body, the change of the moment. In the twinkling of an eye, everything is working right on time. Everything is right on schedule. So, here we are down at the end of the trail as to the Gentile church. The two prophets are just about ready to come on the scene now. The Jew is just about ready to come in. The vision I had, I held on to that hideous thing, and I wouldn't turn it loose until the fire came and everything was burned up and the millennium came in. So then, we've been holding on, not letting our faith waver. The Bible said, ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavereth is like a ship that's tossed at the sea. Double-minded, and the Bible said, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. We must ask in faith, nothing wavering. So then here we are, judgment beginning at the house of God. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for that great day to come? Can we sing that, Sister Dale? Are you ready?
Are you ready? Ready for that great day to come, when the sinner and the saint shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that great day to come? Sing with me now. Are you ready? Tell me now. Are you ready? Come, when the sinner and the saint shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that great day to come? Oh yes, I'm ready. Yes, I'm ready. Ready for that great change to come, when the sinner and the saint shall be parted right and left. I am ready for that great change to come. Sing it again. Oh yes, we're ready.
Yes,
we're ready. Ready for the great change to come, when the sinner shall be parted right and left. Oh, I'm ready for the great day to come. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in fine. Are you ready for that great day to come?
Are you ready for the bridegroom
to come? Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Far be it morning, noon, or night, I'm always to find this white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom. For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm always ready for this fight, and I'm ready for the bridegroom. So we will praise Him.
Can you lift your hands up?
He will praise Him. Praise the Lord for sinners slain. Sing that with me as we worship the Lord.
For
the blood has washed away. We're singing again together now. Let's love Him. Praise Him from your heart. I will praise Him. Now then, surrender your heart to the Lord. It's
shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can you surrender your heart tonight? Can you surrender your heart? Can you surrender your heart tonight? Can you surrender your heart? Give him glory, all ye people. For his blood has washed. Want to sing it together again as we worship the Lord just for a few minutes. Now, if this thing's not right in your heart, then get those things right. Start searching your heart now. Examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. See. Examine your heart. See if you really, truly believe deep down in your heart that you've got eternal life. Already got it. Already got it. Not going to get it. Already got it. See if you believe deep down in your heart that you are a son or a daughter of God. See if you really believe that. Search your heart. Examine yourself. See if you be in the faith. Once again, Dale. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lord for sinners. Let's give him glory, all ye people. For his blood has washed away. One more time together. I'm going to ask Brother David Burton to come up and dismiss us. Sigh. Will praise him, my will praise him, praise the Lord for sinners slain. Let's give him glory. Don't leave tonight until you surrender your heart to God. Be sure that you don't go out until you've surrendered your heart. Man looketh on the outward appearance, God looketh on the heart. I will praise him, and I will praise him. Praise for sinners slain, and will give him glory, all ye people. For the blood is washed away. While you've got your eyes closed and your hands lifted up and they're playing on the musical instruments, ask Brother David Burton to come and dismiss us. Kind of started off with a David, we're kind of ending with a David. You know, it sounds like the Jews coming in, don't it? I wished I could tell you many of the things that we know and understand about you, about these people that are coming up before the mic to make you understand the glory and the richness and the wonderfulness of what he is doing and the love that he's given unto us. I wish that I could tell you, but just be glad that you're eternal. Just be glad that you don't have to die. Just be glad that you come to the truth. Ever learning the world is and never able to come to this truth. But you've come to this truth. And because you hungered and thirst, God has opened your heart and your mind. Now look at it. Isn't it amazing that you can't deny it, can you? You that have understanding, you come to it. You can't deny it, can you? I mean, even if you wanted to. Even if you wanted to. Come on, folks. Even if you wanted to. You that have come to the understanding. See, there's no way. Because the Spirit acknowledges truth and you say, my God, that is right. This thing is put together right. That is right. We really are eternal. That is right. You know, you've come to the truth. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I can tell you believe that. See, it's something you can't deny. You don't have to try to figure it out and say, I hope this is true. You know it's right, folks. And that's what makes you eternal, because you believe that. You know it's right. That means you believe it. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, you know that. You believe that. Can you lift those hands up? Close your eyes one more time. I think we'll just sing that one more time. Hymn glory, all ye people, for his blood is washed. One more time together now. You've escaped death, you've escaped time, you've escaped sin. So I will pray.